In the days of Herod, king of Judah, a priest by the name of Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, makes his way to the temple to perform the priestly duties according to the order of service set up by King David. Lots are cast to determine which priest will serve in the temple, and Zacharias is chosen. It is October of 6 BC. He and his wife, Elizabeth, are both old and they do not have children, but they are blameless in the commandments, and they are blameless in the law of God, and they are righteous in God's sight. Now the people are watching as Zacharias enters the temple to burn the incense at the proper hour, and they become quickly disturbed when it takes him way too long to come out. Inside, the angel Gabriel is speaking with Zacharias. He is promising him that he and Elizabeth will have a son, and they will name him John. He tells them that John will grow into a man who will live and minister in the spirit of Elijah, turning the hearts of the people back to God. He will be the forerunner to announce the coming Messiah for whom Israel is watching. He will drink no wine during his life, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time that he is in his mother's womb. Zacharias cannot believe what he is hearing, and he questions Gabriel. Because of his unbelief, Gabriel makes Zacharias mute, and he will remain that way until John is born. When Zacharias comes out of the temple, he can only wave his hands and the people know that he has seen a vision. When he ends his service, he returns back to Elizabeth and she becomes pregnant. She keeps herself secluded for 5 months, praising the Lord for taking away her disgrace of barrenness. In Elizabeth's 6 months of pregnancy in April of 5 BC, Gabriel also visits Mary in Nazareth, telling her that she has found favor with God and that she will bear the Son of the Most High God, who will sit on the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever. Mary cannot believe that she's going to have a child because she's a virgin. Gabriel tells her that the Holy Spirit will cause the pregnancy, and Mary is to name the child Jesus. Now Gabriel tells Mary that with God all things are possible, and he also tells her that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Mary thinks about all that the angel says, and she acknowledges those things. So Mary immediately travels down to the hill country of Judah to visit Elizabeth. She probably arrives in May of 5 BC. And upon entering the house, John leaps in the womb when Mary greets Elizabeth. With Mary's greeting, John is filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb, and Elizabeth cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth continues to praise the Lord, and Mary stays with Elizabeth for about 3 months before returning home to Nazareth, where she will have to tell Joseph the news. In June of 5 BC, all the neighbors are gathering around outside the home of Elizabeth and Zacharias when she gives birth to the son. It's in July of 5 BC, and on the eighth day after his birth, his parents take him to the temple for the circumcision. At the ceremony, Elizabeth says to the high priest that the name of the boy is to be John, but all the neighbors object, for there's no other male in the family that has that name. Zacharias writes the name John on the tablet, and immediately Zacharias can speak, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gives a beautiful prophecy about the child. As John grows, he begins to live in the wilderness until it is time for him to begin his ministry. Meanwhile, in a dream, Gabriel appears to Joseph and tells him about Mary's pregnancy. Joseph refuses to break the engagement, deciding instead to remain faithful to her as a faithful husband and to keep her as a virgin until Jesus' birth. Now, news comes from Caesar Augustus, and it decrees that all the people must register and pay a tax in their home cities. Joseph takes the family to Bethlehem to fulfill his duty. He's a descendant of David the king, and they arrive in Bethlehem sometime in late December of 5 BC or early January of 4 BC. And in the crowded city, Joseph cannot find a place to stay. They are offered a cattle stall and they settle down for the birth of Jesus. The night of Jesus' birth, out in the fields around Bethlehem, shepherds are tending their sheep, and the angels appear to them to announce the birth of the Lord. They spread the good news, and they all go to the cattle stall to see Jesus in the manger. As morning breaks, the shepherds return to their flocks, praising God for the child. Wise men have been following a star that they have seen in the eastern skies. It leads them to Herod, who is living in Jericho, and they ask him if he knows where the new king of the Jews resides so they can go and worship him. Now Herod quickly gathers all the priests together to see if they know anything about the birth of the child. He is to be born in Bethlehem, they tell him. Therefore, Herod sends the wise men to Bethlehem to see if the child resides there. Herod says to them, "Now come back to me if you find him, so I can go and worship him too." So he sends the wise men on their way. The wise men find Jesus in Bethlehem just as the scripture predicts, and they give him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And at the end of their visit, they do not return to Herod, but they go home a different way. 8 days later, after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the synagogue in Bethlehem for his circumcision. After they visit the synagogue to have Jesus circumcised, an angel comes to Joseph in a dream. He tells Joseph to take his family down to Egypt because Herod intends to kill Jesus. The family leaves in the middle of the night, just as foretold in the scripture. Furious that the wise men have not returned, Herod orders that every male child in the surrounding area of Bethlehem under the age of 2 years old be killed, fulfilling Jeremiah's prophecy. When Herod dies in March of 4 BC, the angel tells Joseph to return to Israel. They make their journey back to Jerusalem, where Mary presents herself with an offering in the temple for her time of purification. The Mosaic law requires Mary to go through 40 days of purification after giving birth to Jesus. On the 40th day, Mary takes the required offering to the temple in Jerusalem to present Jesus. Now Anna, a widow who had only been married for 7 years before becoming a widow, is serving in the temple, waiting for the Holy Spirit's promise that she will see the Savior, the Messiah, before she dies. She is 84 years old. And she has spent many years helping around the temple day and night. When she sees the baby Jesus, she announces that he is the redemption of Israel. Now Simeon is an old man in the temple who comes that day, and he enjoys the same promise from the Holy Spirit that Anna had. The promise is that he will not die until he sees the Lord. And when he sees Jesus, he gives his parents a beautiful blessing. In Jerusalem, Joseph hears that Herod's worst son has assumed his place as king. His name is Archelaus, and Joseph fears his family living anywhere near him, so Joseph takes his family quickly back to Nazareth to live, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. The Bible tells us very little about Jesus' childhood. However, we do know that his family takes him to the Passover in Jerusalem every year. In his 12th year, Jesus stays behind in Jerusalem when his family leaves the festival. About 20 miles out, Mary and Joseph realize that Jesus is not with the group of friends and family from Nazareth. They return to Jerusalem to find him. It takes 3 days to discover that he is in the temple. And he is listening and he is asking questions. All the religious leaders seem amazed at his understanding. His parents scold him, and he replies to them that he must be doing his father's business in his father's house. So Jesus then returns with his parents to Nazareth, obedient at all times. And as the years pass, Mary remembers all these things and ponders them in her heart. John the Baptist's ministry begins in the wilderness in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar's rule in August of 26 AD. Pilate, the governor of Judea, and Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee, also rule in Israel. Now, when Herod had died back in 4 BC, the Roman government found it best not to replace the area with one king, but with three. The kingdom of Herod was divided amongst his three sons. Archelaus was controlling the Jerusalem area, and he was the worst of them all. His other two brothers controlled the other two parts of his father's domain. Now, Ananias serves as the current high priest, and his son-in-law, Caiaphas, will follow him in the position. John's first words are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and all flesh shall see God." And that message rings through the valley. People from everywhere come to see John by the river. They are repenting of their sins, and they're experiencing John's baptism. John, who dresses like the old prophet in camel's hair clothing and a leather belt, and he eats locusts and honey, is intriguing all the people. When the Pharisees and Sadducees join the crowd, John verbally attacks them, saying, "You brood of vipers!" And he warns them not to rely on their genealogies for their faith any longer. He warns them that if they do not change, eternal fire awaits them. One day the Pharisees arrive to question John, and they ask if they should call him Elijah. "No," John says, "I'm not Elijah." So the Pharisees say, "Tell us who you are so that we can tell the people who you are when they ask us." And John replies, "I am a voice that is crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord." So they ask him, "Why do you baptize?" And John tells them that he baptizes with water. "But there is one coming who that even he is not worthy to untie his sandals." Well, Jesus begins his ministry about the age of 30. The people begin to think of John as the long-awaited Messiah, but John denies it, and he tells them that the Messiah will soon arrive. He tells that he will not baptize with water, but this Messiah will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And one day Jesus comes to the river to be baptized, and John does not want to do it, but Jesus convinces John that it is necessary. And when Jesus emerges from the water, everyone hears God the Father speaking from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove, and it lands on the Lord, presenting an amazing scene of the three persons of God. Daniel's prophecy of the 62 weeks is complete. It has been 434 years since the completion of Malachi's prophecy and the last word from the Lord in the old Hebrew scriptures. The final week of Daniel's prophecy will not begin until the end times. But for now, more of Daniel has been fulfilled. Now, Jesus does not return to his home on that day, but he goes into the wilderness on the east side of the Jordan River, where he stays for 40 days. While there, Jesus spends time in communion with God the Father, not eating the entire time. Well, after the 40 days are over, he becomes hungry. And that's the time when Satan comes to tempt him in his hunger. The first temptation requires that Jesus turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger, but Jesus will not do it. In the second temptation, Satan takes Jesus into Jerusalem to the top of the temple and tempts him to jump down and let the angels rescue him. Jesus will not be tempted by this tactic either. Finally, Satan takes Jesus to the top of a mountain and offers him all that he can see if he will just serve him. But Jesus will not accept that offer either. In each case, Jesus replies with scripture from the book of Deuteronomy to thwart Satan. Defeated, Satan leaves the Lord. The next day after the temptation, Jesus approaches John at the river, and he's still there preaching, and he's still there baptizing. And as Jesus walks by, Andrew and John begin to follow him. But Jesus asks them of their intentions, and they ask him where he's going to stay. And Jesus invites them to come and to stay with him. That's about 10 o'clock in the morning. The following day, Jesus begins making his way to Galilee, and he finds Philip of Bethsaida on the way. Philip also follows the Lord when he invites him to go with him. Philip tells Nathanael about the Messiah spoken of in Moses' law and in the prophet books, and Nathanael cannot believe that the Messiah can come from Nazareth. But Philip convinces him to come and see him. Nathanael hides in the fig tree, and when he sees the Lord coming, he instantly perceives that Jesus is the Messiah. So Nathanael becomes a believer, and Jesus promises him that he will see many great things as a follower. He will even see heaven open and the angels of God descending on the Lord and ascending. 3 days after coming out of the wilderness, Jesus arrives in Cana with his new followers and his mother. A planning mishap calls for Jesus to perform his first miracle. Jesus' mother discovers the problem of a lack of wine, and she brings the dilemma to her son's attention. "What do you want me to do?" Jesus asks his mother. And she persuades him to help, and he instructs the waiters to take 6 water pots and to fill them with water, fill them to the brim, and bring them to him. And when they bring the water pots to him, the water has turned into wine. They serve it to the people, and astonished they say, "It is the best wine they have ever tasted." Usually the best wine is served first at the party, but at this celebration, the people think the wedding party have intentionally left the best wine until the end of the party. Following the wedding, Jesus and all his family travel to Capernaum, where they stay for a few days. After staying in Capernaum for a few days, Jesus takes the 85-mile journey back to Jerusalem. It's a 4 or 5 day trip, and he's going back for the Passover celebration. It's a tradition for him every year of his life. Well, in Jerusalem, he finds the temple is overrun with merchants and money changers. So he takes some pieces of leather and he makes a small whip, and he uses it to drive out all the profiteers, and he overturns all the tables, and he says, "Stop making my Father's house a place of business." The Jewish leaders hurry to the temple to question Jesus about who or what has given him the authority to clear the money changers out of the courtyard. And he replies, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." What? They have been building this temple for 46 years. To destroy it and rebuild it in 3 days seems impossible for them. Back in 20 BC, Herod the Great had begun a process of repairing the temple and adding to it many buildings and porches and awnings. It will take until 66 AD for that plan and process to be completed. But at this point in time, according to history, they have run out of money. For the priests and Pharisees to tell us it took 46 years for the temple to get to this position in its construction tells us that the year is 27 AD. In the dark of the night, one of the Jewish rulers comes to Jesus. His name is Nicodemus. And he already believes in his heart that Jesus has come from God and is a teacher, because no one can perform the miracles that he is doing unless God has sent him. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. Nicodemus does not understand how he can re-enter his mother's womb again. And Jesus explains that his first birth occurred with his mother, but his second must occur with the Spirit of God. It is like the wind that blows, which you can hear, but you cannot see it, and you do not know where it comes from. Everyone who is born of the Spirit experiences the same mystery, not knowing where he comes from. Now, Nicodemus questions Jesus because he just doesn't understand how the things of God work. Jesus tries to help him understand, but if he doesn't understand the simple earthly principles, how can he ever understand the important things about heaven? Jesus reminds Nicodemus of the story of Moses lifting up the brass serpent as a promise in the wilderness. The people, bitten by snakes and dying, could look at the pole from anywhere in the camp and live. Those who kept their eyes on the serpent lived, but those who did not died. One day, Jesus will be lifted up on a pole, and everyone who looks on him and believes will be saved, but those who do not will be lost forever. Jesus promises Nicodemus eternal life, not eternal judgment. The reason the Father has sent him, the Son, to this entire world to bring eternal life to all who believe, to bring eternal life, not eternal judgment. Jesus, the true light, came into the world to judge everyone who walks in evil darkness. And those who love the darkness, they hate Jesus. Everyone who practices the truth comes to Jesus because the things they do coincide with the things of God. Remaining in Judea, Jesus and his men teach and they baptize. John the Baptist baptizes near Salem because of the wonderful bounty of water that is there. John's disciples find out about Jesus' ministry and they ask John if all the believers should follow Jesus instead. And John quickly responds that man cannot receive anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. And John tells his disciples that he is not the Christ, but the forerunner of the Christ. And Jesus is the Christ, and all the disciples belong to him, even those who are following John. John then explains his position by comparing himself to the best man at a wedding. The best man does everything until the end of the service. And then he steps away, steps aside, out of the way, showcases the groom and the bride. John must decrease in popularity so Jesus can increase. And everyone who receives the testimony of Jesus knows that God is true. The Father has given everything to the Son to be His. Belief in the Son ensures eternal life, But those who do not obey the Son will not see eternal life. Now each time Herod comes to see John preaching in the wilderness, John accuses him of a great sin. You see, Herod married Herodias, his brother's wife, a grave sin in Jewish life. Herod is finally publicly humiliated enough, and so he locks John up in prison at Machaerus.